الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, as I had mentioned last night, that there are so many aspects regarding the life and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one could discuss. And the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not be confined to just one night where we have a program, and then when we glorify and we talk about the lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. But the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be discussed, it should be read about, and it should be implemented in our lives. And we should always send durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day of our life. It is not only on certain occasions that now we begin to send salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we discuss a few aspects of his life. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a leader. He was the perfect example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And he was this perfect model for us. And as I had mentioned last night, that he was a perfect teacher. He was a perfect husband. He was a perfect father. He was a perfect imam. He was a perfect soldier. He was a perfect Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every aspect in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if one looks at, he can bring those beautiful traits and qualities into his life. Because he was the most perfect example for us to follow, and there is no other way for us to gain salvation but following the footsteps of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we had a lengthy discussion on his lofty status, etc. But I had mentioned last night that today we will focus on the fact that he was a mercy to the entire universe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very clearly, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we did not send you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy للعالمين, to the entire universe. To all the realms. He was sent as a mercy to the believers. He was sent as a mercy to the disbelievers. He was sent as a mercy to even the hypocrites. He was sent as a mercy to the animals. He was sent as a mercy to the women folk, to the orphans, the yatim, to the children. We have heard from scholars the incident where an old lady who had heard about a certain youngster on the Banu Hashim family who claimed nubuwat, prophethood, and he was calling towards the oneness of Allah, and he was calling the people to worshipping only one Allah, believing only in one Allah, and to forsake the idols, and not to worship the sun, the moon, and the idols, and Lat, and Manat, and Uzza. And this lady was receiving information, false information, that this youngster, he is now causing a rift in society. And he is causing disunity. So she became very distressed, very upset, very angry. And in her words, in her supplication that she made to her idols, that this youngster must be destroyed, and there must be no traces of his name even left. And after her supplication, she still finds that this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this youngster, he is still prosperous and many people are now following him. So she decides now to leave the place where she was living to another place. And she had a bundle, her goods ready, sitting outside her door, waiting for some person to assist her to carry this bundle of goods. And then comes the beautiful, radiant face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we mentioned last night, Sirajam Munira. This glowing face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the face of Nubuwat. This young person who she was cursing happens to go past now. And he sees her in this condition, so he offers assistance. And he says, "Oh my mother, is there anything I can do for you?" She says, "Yes, I've got this bundle of goods. I was just thinking how I'm going to carry this." So he says, "No problem." And he carries it on his shoulder. And he walks with her for a distance until she comes to a place where she requires to settle down. And then she asks this young man that, how much would you charge me? You have carried my bundle. He says, "No, my mother. This is nothing. You don't have to pay me anything." And she sees his kindness and his generosity. And the only way now she can repay him, she tells him, "Oh young man, you're such a kind person. I wish to warn you about a person by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who come from the Banu Hashim family. And he is claiming that he is a prophet of Allah. And he is causing disunity and rift in society. And he's actually making the people forsake the worshipping of idols. Beware of him. Be careful of this person." And then she asks him, "Oh young person, you have walked along with me, you have been so kind. By the way, what is your name?" And then Rasulullah tells her, "I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the same person who you're talking about." Scholars have mentioned that then she realized that this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who she was cursing and rejecting, he is definitely a true Nabi of Allah, and she embraced Islam. He was rahmatul lil alameen. Abu Quhafa radiallahu ta'ala, the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, was very elderly. And he had accepted Islam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brings him one day to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take the bay'at, to pledge allegiance. Rasulullah sees Abu Quhafa coming right to him. He tells Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, "Halla taraktahu fi bayti? Why didn't you leave him in his home? فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّهُ We should have gone to him. Why did you make him walk such a long distance? I should have gone to him." This was the mercy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And he used to be concerned about the elderly, the young ones, the sick, the old. His compassion, his mercy for the young ones, we mentioned a few incidents yesterday, that whilst he is in salat, Hassan Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, Usama bin Zaid radiallahu ta'ala, at times, Umama, the daughter of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, these young children would come and they climb on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or whilst he's in salat, he would just hold him. And as he's going into sajda or in ruku, then he'll put them down. This was the mercy he had for the children. Whilst performing salah, you know, even the children would attend the salat at that time with their parents. And if he could hear the buka'u sabi, the crying of a little child in salat, then he would curtail his salat, lest the mother of the child gets the cleaf. She's worried her child is crying. And the child needs the attention of the mother. If the salat is going to be very lengthy, then this mother is going to become pareshan and distressed. Therefore, out of his mercy for that mother and the child, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would curtail the salat even. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ He was a mercy for the believers. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more closer to the believers than they are to themselves. In one hadith it is mentioned regarding those believers who pass on. They leave this world, but they have debts that they have incurred, and they've got no other person responsible now to pay off the debts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say that bring those debts on me, I would see to the payment of those debts. And I would take care of his orphan children. He was a source of mercy even for the disbelievers. In the tafsir of this verse, وَمَا أَرْسَلَّاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala mentions very clearly, for the believers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi, leader, they believed in him. So he showed them the path of sa'adah, the path of success. And they gained salvation, they gained success, bliss, happiness in this world, in the hereafter. Because they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was a source of mercy for the believers. But for the disbelievers, the very presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that unlike the nations of the past who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the qawm of Nuh alayhi salam, and other nations, qawm of Thamud, when they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after repeatedly being invited by the Nabi towards the oneness of Allah, when they were obstinate, when they were stubborn, and they rejected the invitation of the Nabi of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send down his punishment whilst the Nabi was alive, to cool the eyes of the Nabi, that these people were disobedient and they just did not listen to you. They rejected you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy those people in the presence of the Nabi. So unlike the nations of the past, Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as you are amidst the people, Allah will not send down such a punishment, an armed punishment, like how Allah punished with a hurricane, or some flood that destroyed the nations of the past, because they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah did not send down such a punishment on even the disbelievers, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil'alameen. A youngster, a little child, comes with his mother. And you know, a little child is very inquisitive, is very curious. So he happens to see the Khatmun Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood, on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in the narrations, various description is given, like the size of a pigeon's egg. It had some hay on it. Some rewise say, like the size of an apple or the size of a fist. Beneath the shoulder blade of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which showed that he was a true Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this little youngster happened to see this Khatmun Nubuwa. He began to put his fingers and feel and touch this. So his mother or his father tried to stop him. Rasulullah said, no, leave him. Let this little child enjoy himself. Mercy to humanity. Little children also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give them a ride on his camel. When it was the first fruit of the season, and in that gathering if there was a child, and the first fruit now appears, then Rasulullah would call a child first and let him partake of this fruit first. There are so many incidents where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his kindness, his compassion. What did he say? لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا. That person who is not merciful towards our young ones, he says, then he is not part of my ummah. He should not say that he is an ummati of mine. لَيْسَ مِنَّا, he is not of us. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. That person who does not have mercy, then mercy will not be shown to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. you know, in some examinations in some madrasas, if the examination paper is very difficult, then right in the end, the student will write there, man lam yarham, la yurham. In other words, it's indicating to the examiner, you don't show mercy to me, Allah won't show mercy to you. Aqra bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala an, he's with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallam has one of his grandchildren with him, so he kisses his grandchild. Aqra bin Habis says, atuqabbilu sibyanakum? You kiss your children? He says, yes. Why not? He says, I've got 10 children. I haven't kissed even any one of them ever. Not a single one. I have shown any compassion and mercy towards any one of them. I have not shown my mercy and compassion by even kissing them. My own children or grandchildren. Rasulullah SAW replies, he says, أَوَ أَمْلِكْ إِن نَزَعَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ مِنْ قُلُوبِ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ. What should I do then? If Allah has snatched away mercy from your heart, you are then regarded as a shaqi. لا تنزع الرحمة إلا من شقي. Mercy is only snatched away from that person who is a wretched person. He's got no compassion in him. No love, no kindness. Your own child, your own grandchild, and you fail to show muhabbat and love. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us in his beautiful seerah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we did not send you except that you were a source of mercy for all the realms, for all the worlds. Now look at the animals. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees that a mother bird had become troubled and distressed because on journey one sahabi had seen the nestlings and he took away the nestlings from the mother bird, she began to flutter her wings. He said, man faja'a hadhihi biwaladiha? Who has frightened this mother bird because of her nestlings? Ruddu ilayha waladaha. Give her, return her children back to her. Return her nestlings back to her. They belong to her. Do not take away her children from her. This was the mercy he showed even to birds. فَرَأَى قَرْيَةَ نَمْلٍ. He sees a colony of ants. حَرَّقْنَاهَا. Sahaba said, we see some ants, a colony of ants. We thought it's going to trouble us, so we burned this entire colony of ants. Rasulullah ﷺ stopped them. Or he warned them, in future do not do such a thing. لَا يُعَذِّبُ بِالنَّارِ إِلَّا رَبُّ النَّارِ. Only the owner, the possessor of fire, and there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can punish by means of fire. But this was the mercy he had even for ants. Rasulullah enters a garden of an Ansari. And when he enters this garden of this Ansari, a camel belonging to that Ansari youngster comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fajarajara. It began to make some sounds. It began to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it began to shed tears, this camel, shedding tears. وَعَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَانَ. Rasulullah SAW began to stroke the neck of this camel. He began to console and pacify this camel. And then he asked, مَنْ صَاحِبُ هَذَا الْجَمَلِ? Who's the owner of this camel? So this Ansari youngster comes, he says, I am the owner, Ya Rasulullah. He says that this camel is complaining about you. إِنَّكَ تُجِيعُهُ وَتُتْئِبُهُ. You are making it hungry. You are starving this camel. You are burdening this camel with a lot of work. And therefore you are making it very tired. You are exhausting this camel. Why are you doing so? So this was the mercy he had for even animals. So he was rahmatul lil alameen to the believers, to the disbelievers, to the munafiqeen even, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He left no stone unturned in taunting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, poking fun at him, mocking at him. Imagine battle of Uhud, 1,000 Muslims, they're going to fight 3,000 disbelievers. And as they're moving, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he says, no, no, we are not coming with you. And 300 of the munafiqeen return, leaving the Sahaba only 700 to fight the enemy of 3,000 in the Battle of Uhud. There are so many occasions. Even the whole saga regarding Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, when they falsely accused her, they slandered her. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was one of the main culprits, the miscreant who began this rumor. And he gave so much of taklif to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved wife. But despite all this, when the man leaves this world, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, and there's no kafan for him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam provides the kafan. His uncle Abbas radiallahu anhu gives his shirt, and Rasulullah makes sure that this kafan is even given, and then he even performs the salah. It's a lengthy explanation. Allah Ta'ala then informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you should not even perform the salat of such people. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, just before Rasulullah would lead the salat, he says, are you going to perform salat on this munafiq? And Rasulullah said that Allah has given me a choice. Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum. Nonetheless, in the academic discussion, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even performed the janazah of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the munafiq, the leader of the munafiqeen. When he comes to the yatim, the orphan, when he comes to the woman, the wife at home, Rasulullah says, إِنِّي أُحَرِّجُ حَقَّ الضَّعِفَيْنِ الْمَرْأَ وَالْيَتِيمِ. He laid so much of emphasis, he stressed on the rights of those two people who were naturally weak. And that is the woman and the yatim. The yatim has no support. He's got no father. No father to support for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore mentioned, أَنَا وَكَافِرُ الْيَتِيمِ كَهَاتَيْنِ. I and the one who looks after the yatim, we are like this. And he brought his two fingers very close. That we are so closely connected. And on the day of Qiyamah we'll be so close. And he mentioned a similar hadith to that person who looks after. In one riwayat, Man'ala bintain, he's got two daughters, or thalathan, or three daughters. Perhaps they are not married as yet. Or they were married, divorced, sent back to the father's home. It is difficult. The father has to take care of the needs of those daughters. They are growing up. Fa'allamahunna. Then he teaches them deen. Wa'addabahunna. Teaches them manners and etiquettes. And he teaches them it very well. He's mindful of their needs and care. And whatever responsibilities he has, he shoulders those responsibilities regarding them. Or Rasulullah has also mentioned one hadith, Dakhal al-Jannah, such a person, such a father will enter Jannah. And one riwayat, I will be with him very close on the day of Qiyamah. Imagine a prison of war. Prison of war. He's your enemy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فُكُّ الْعَانِيَةِ. Release the prisoner, release him. Feed the prisoner. Sahaba would give the prisoner food first before eating themselves. One Bedouin, Arabi, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the presence of Sahaba. Ya Muhammad! With no respect whatsoever. مُرْلِي مِن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي عِنْدَكُ. That wealth belonging to Allah, which is in your possession for distribution, give me some wealth. Give me some of that wealth. Sahaba look at him, they are enraged. فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَتَبَسَّمَ. Rasul looked at him and turned towards him and smiled and then gives some wealth to him. Another Bedouin comes, demands some money. Rasul says, I haven't anything. Ya Yahud, a Yahudi comes. A Jew, he says, Ya Yahudi, ma indi min malin. I don't have anything now. He says, then la ufariquk. I will not leave you. I will stay with you all the time. So Rasulullah said, then okay, then I will sit here. It is mentioned in the riwayat of Mishkat that Rasulullah stayed there
from Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, the next Fajr. Whole day, hatta antasaf al-nahar, till midday, then the Yahudi embraces Islam. And then he says, I looked in the Torah of your qualities, and I wanted to just test your tolerance. I've seen all the other qualities, but I just needed to verify your tolerance, and I've seen you're a tolerant person. Similar incident, Zayd bin Su'ana radiallahu ta'ala, before he embraced Islam, he was a Yahudi. He was a ulama, amongst the ulama of the Yahud. And he was sitting very close by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when one person comes from a very distant, remote village, he was a Bedouin, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got a problem. What's the problem? What's the matter? He says, my people embrace Islam. And I promise them, after embracing Islam, Allah will provide for you halal sustenance. You'll get plentiful. You'll get immediately, you'll get sustenance. But we've got drought. And I'm scared. Just as they came into Islam very quickly and readily, they will leave Islam very quickly also. Please help me. Give me some assistance. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still trying to consult Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala when Zayd bin Su'ana comes. Oh Muhammad, do you wish that I may assist you? So he gives him a certain amount of gold on condition that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will pay him back with so much of dates from the date farm. It is mentioned that 2 or 3 days prior to the due date, 2 or 3 days prior to the due date, this Zayd bin Su'ana comes. He begins to tug at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very violently. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is there. Ya aduwallah, O enemy of Allah, this is you how you are handling our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His eyes are going red. Rasulullah sees this. He says, Umar, stop. This is not how you should speak. Umar, you should tell me that, O Messenger of Allah, you should pay in a nice way, and you should address this Yahudi, and tell him he should demand in a nice way. Umar, now go, and give him more dates than what was owed to him. Umar radiallahu anhu has to go. And as he's taking Zayd bin Su'ana says, O Umar, you know who it is? Do you know who am I? He says, no. He says, I'm Zayd bin Su'ana. He says, you, from the alim of the Yahud, you behaving this way? He says, yes. I just wanted to test your Nabi. And he has passed the test. I want to embrace Islam. And all this, the wealth that I have, I wish to give it to the Muslims. He comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he embraces Islam. He recites the Shahada, he embraced Islam. Like this, there are so many other incidents, time has run out already. As I mentioned last night, let us read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many beautiful incidents that show us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to the universe. And therefore, you and I, who are the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are the thorn behind that beautiful rose. And the thorn is given that value as long as it is attached to the rose. The moment the thorn is separated from the rose, then people will throw the thorn away. If we detach ourselves from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his beautiful advices, from his beautiful seerah, then respected brothers and elders, we will have to be answerable for our own. We will suffer the consequences. Let us attach ourselves, even though we are thorns, we are unworthy, we are insignificant ones, but we the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this beautiful rose, the beautiful teachings, we will go on praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but now the time has come that we will praise Rasulullah sallallahu, we must send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but let us now bring one sunnat into our lives and look at the beautiful teachings, how he did not wish to harm any person, how he cared about every person, how he was kind and compassionate. Let us become compassionate servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.